Welcome to Canny Cross Conversations with me, Michelle.
And me, Louise, talking all things dogs, running and canny sports. Welcome to this week's episode of Canny Cross Conversations. Now, this week we're featuring a Canny Cross story and we have Chloe Connell with us. So, Chloe, thank you for joining us on the podcast. We have spoken to you once before very quickly in a Good Woof episode, but do tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into running.
Hi, thanks for having me. So, yeah, I'm Chloe. I am a Canny Cross athlete. I'm competing across the nation, really. This is actually my third season I've come into, so I might not be as experienced in the racing as some people have on here, but I think I might have done well enough now to got there quite quickly, put it that way. Running wise, I actually started running when I was about 12. So I've been doing Canny Cross for quite a while. I never really was a proper runner like I am now. When I was in school, they always shoved me for like 400 meters or something, just because I just got on with it and did it, and I did all right. But I never really was the person that was like, oh, I like running. So if I was started when I was little, I might have, you know, got there a bit quicker. But yeah, so I started Canny Crossing when I was about 12.
Canny Crossing when you were 12?
Yeah, I started at 12. So I've been doing it for a long time, but racing-wise, I've only been doing it for the past three seasons.
What dog did you have when you were 12 then?
So when I was 12, I had two little crossbreeds. One of them definitely wasn't a Canny Crosser, let's put it that way. He was a little terrier. Not that he wouldn't have done it, as in, because any dog could really do it. He was just a little grumpy boy, so that wouldn't have happened. No, I did it with my little rescue dog, Ziggy. She was a Staffy Cross Collie. She is. Good going. She's 17 now, nearly.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did it with her. I started. It's quite a funny story, actually, because how I got into it. So my background before I got into this was obedience. So my mum competes competitively in obedience. She still does. She always has done. So she obviously got me into it when I was quite young. So that was my, they call it a sport, but you just walk around. So, yeah, I was doing obedience and I was quite good at it. I got to cross five times. Did all right. Whilst doing this obedience, there's like a community group, you know, and something called the Young Kennel Club. So you've heard of the Kennel Club, well, they have a Young Kennel Club. And we used to go to their summer camps, which is a week in Mount Mowbray, really fun, all sorts of flyboarding, all you can think of. And one year, Canics came. So they were like, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll have a go. Shove some equipment along. Had a little go around their field, and Diggy was a good girl. Then that was kind of it, because I had my own things. And then when I went to Crufts to compete at obedience the following year, they were there with their little stall and they were like, hi, you okay? Do you fancy having a go at our race that we've got here? And I was like, you know, I was only 12. I was like, okay. So I was like, okay, but I need some equipment. They lent me the equipment. Long story short, I ended up coming second. And the juniors did all right, and it kind of went from there. There was a bit of a I missed my presentation, so I didn't get my prize, and it's
oh no,
it wasn't the best, I must admit. They gave away my prize and I got a bit upset, and this lovely lady said, look, it's all what happened, we do feel really sorry for you, like I was only little and I got quite upset. So she was like, we're going to make all your equipment for you. Like, we'll give you all for free. And then, yeah, then I just started running. Met some few people that I could go with Thetford. And actually, because I was so young, at this point, I was probably like 13. Because I was so young, I was too young to go running with a group by myself. So they were like, your mum needs to come with you. And that's how my mum went to Canicross. So I actually got my mum running, and she and she's still going as well. And that's it. That's how I got into it. Like, wow. It was casual. I ran with my mum's dogs with my mum. And then once I moved out 5 years ago, got Bolt. And then I just started training him and kind of working it out as I went along and got buzz, and here I am.
So can I just go back and ask a question then? Because a lot of people ask us, and you might be able to answer this, that if they train their dogs to be obedient, you know, and to walk by your side and everything like that, they're really worried about when they canicross them, that they're going to lose all that. And have you, with your experience with all the obedience, have you been able to make them do both?
Yeah, you definitely can. It's a completely two different things. Dogs are a lot smarter than you think. One, even just the difference in harnesses. You know, you have your walking harnesses, you have your running harnesses. You put the two different things on, your dogs will understand. Yeah, you might get them a little bit, but my dogs, when I put them on their walking harnesses, yeah, they pull, which is why I have head collars. But I don't actively tell them off, because at the end of the day, that's what I want them to do when they're in a harness. They do know the difference. It's not like they're trying to run. They're just pulling a little bit more. Obedience is the same. It's a completely different environment. If you want them, you know, you've got, with running, they're out front, it's hands-free, it's all vocal. Obedience, it's all about hands, where your hands is, it's body positions, they've got to be next to you. So it is a completely different thing. I can get my dogs to heel if I want them to. It's two very different sports. Your obedience would never, it would never disadvantage any cross. But it's going back to, do you want to fully, you know, stop them from doing certain things when you want them to canny cross, like I said with pulling.
Yeah.
It won't do any disadvantages between the two things. If you want an obedient dog, you can have an obedient dog. I also did canny cross.
Excellent.
So did you kind of, from that first racing experience, Chloe, did you carry on racing then? Have you always raced? No.
So that first racing experience was completely new to me. I wasn't a runner, and I was really young. I carried on with my obedience afterwards, and then, you know, casually did it on the weekends. My mum set up a canicross club, which is called King's Forest Canicross, over Norfolk, Suffolk. It's 10 years this year, so that's how long they've been going. So I've always actively been running with them, borrowing my mum's dogs. When Ziggy got a bit older, we got a new dog, which was just a Staffy, rescue Staffy Tidy, cute little hench little thing she is. She's miniature, but she's 19 kilos and just hench. So I started running her. She was a difficult one, I'm not gonna lie. And actually I didn't enjoy racing at all. So I tried a few, hooked her up with Ziggy, but being a rescue and being a Snaffy, she could be dog reactive. And you know, I'd be running in a race and I could be going really well, and all of a sudden, if I'd need to overtake someone, absolutely fine overtaking, but she'd almost like have this obsession and she'd turn around and then I couldn't go forwards. So I had to then run behind. And obviously the whole point of a race is you kind of want to run as fast as you can. but then other times I'd have a really good race. So the anxiety that came before that with a reactive dog really took over, and it meant I didn't actually enjoy the experience. So I didn't really do it. I did my mum's club races, and that was it. And that was once a year. But then when I got Bolt, things changed. I was like, oh, you know, I've got a dog that is so good with everyone, so good with all dogs. I don't need to worry about me. So head focused. Tried it out, and I was like, yeah, if I'm meant to do this, don't need to worry about it anymore. And so, yeah, I was like, let's have a dip in my first few races, and then it became a season. I was like, oh, let's just do a season. And now I'm on my third.
I was going to say, you must be the same as me. I think I would do, if I'd raced this season, it would have been my third.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't because of
the COVID obviously kind of ruined it, because that would have been my first season. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It meant I could learn a bit more, you know, because I knew Canicross, I knew how to do it, but the training aspect was new to me at that point. You know, I got my first dog that would be a racer. And so it was learning about how I need to train him and how I need to train myself. At that point, I wasn't training myself. I just was, let's just do Canicross races. Let's see how I go. But I got all right at it. And I was like, oh, I could be pretty good at this if I actually trained myself.
Over to Michelle at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I've been obviously doing it myself, getting myself better for my dog. And then Buzzy came on the scene this season, because it's his first season.
So as a running coach, Michelle, it's really important, isn't it, to do some, as I know, because she's been on at me.
Yes, I have. what does your training look like then, Chloe? What do you kind of do for yourself? And is it all with the dogs? Do you do your own?
No, I mix it up. Each week looks different, to be honest. I try and stay consistent with training plan, but to be honest, I'm very much a person that listens to my body. The impact and the speed that I go with my dogs, and especially for race season, you've really got to listen to your body. If it's saying no, just don't. Granted, there's a certain aspect where, you know, you'll push past the comfort zone. So if you've still got sore legs, maybe, like, I'll do that, because actually getting the blood flowing is obviously going to help those DOMs anyway. But there's a certain aspect. If I'm really not in the headspace, there is no point for me, because I just know I'm just not going to go out and do well. Most of the time I don't have that. And that's the reason why, like, if I'm really not feeling it, that there's something going on that means I shouldn't really go, because I'm not really someone. I'm quite a positive person, I'm quite a motivational person, I will go out there. So I don't push myself in those times. So each week, as much as I like it to be consistently, most of it is, but there will be some weeks that are just completely off. It'll end up looking like running my boys twice a week, and then the rest of it myself. I used to do three, but actually the extra run for me without a dog is actually very beneficial. I feel sometimes the week feels quite short and you're trying to shove so much into a week. It's best to actually do it over 2 weeks program, because I kick myself sometimes. I haven't gone for a run when I should have. But if I've done more the second week, then it kind of balances it out. But I never used to do that. I used to be a person that would just go out running with my dogs and that's it. That kind of how it was a little bit in the first season. Then when I realised, you know, I'm not too bad at it, I started running by myself. And actually, I really enjoy running by myself as well. Like, in summer, I will do races by myself. And that only started happening last year. I realised that actually I'm not too bad without a dog either.
You've clearly got a talent, Chloe. So what kind of sessions are helping you then to progress? What's your favourite sessions?
Speed. The sessions by myself, I'm not going to lie, because people always ask me, what can you run a 5K by yourself with then? And I just answer, I don't know. I don't know, because I haven't pushed myself that hard to find out. What I do is, when I don't have my dog hook up, I take the opportunity to do the easy runs, so I'm fresh for my dogs. If I'm going to do intervals, I'll do it with my dogs. If I'm going to do speed sessions, I'll do it with my dogs. Now, don't get me wrong, I do speed sessions by myself, but most of it is easy running. I end up doing what, 4 runs. One will be a speed session by myself, and the 3 will be easy. So I save my speed for my dogs. So when people ask me, I say, I could probably give you an estimate, but I can't give you a proper time trial, because I save that for when I'm with my boys. fresh legs for my boys. I want to know what PB I can get with my boys, not necessarily myself, because that's what kind of athlete I am. I'm in it to do it with my dogs. I'm very much motivated and focused to be the best I can with my boys.
Do you do any strength training?
Yes and no. I do, but it goes to pot when I have racing. In the summer, I'm brilliant. You'll see me in the gym definitely once a week, if not twice. Race season, my mind just goes into this fully like, right, I'm racing the weekend. I normally gym on a Friday, but I've got to go racing on a Friday. Can't gym. Okay. What I'll do the recce, of course, that's in place of it. And then the weeks where I haven't got races, and because I do so many races, I mean, so far this season, come to the end, I've done 15 race events.
Wow.
If you think about how many months there is, it's quite a lot. So if there's a week after a race weekend where, you know, there's just a free week, I won't think about a gym session, I'll think about running. So I'm not the best during race season with strength sessions, but I am in summer. And this is where now it's come to the end, I'll really pick up with my strength. That's why at the start of summer, I always look like I've got really good shoulders. If you see all my photos in Tri-Dog, I've got really nice shoulders. I'm like, oh, yeah. And now you can see the difference. I do a little bit of time, but not a huge amount.
Would you not reduce a run to do a strength session during your... Sorry, yeah, Michelle knows where I'm going with all this. during season, because I know you're at an age, I'm guessing, but you're at an age where you can probably get away with it, but it's not going to last forever. Just saying that.
Yeah, you're probably right there. This is where I do some weeks and I don't most in racing. I know I should still be keeping consistent with my gymming. I'll end up doing bits at home, but I know for a fact the gym is much better for what I need to be doing. And this is where that's probably my weakness. It's probably race season. Running is all in my head and it's all I can think about. It's like, no, I need to run because in 3 weeks time it will benefit me. But yeah, I need to get better at that. But summer, I'm smashing it in the gym. Race season, that's where I need to just think about it is very difficult, I must admit, with my job. I work long hours during the day. I do have Fridays off, which is nice, but so that's in summer. I use that as my gym day. Fridays for race season is traveling to a race. So the rest of it, I've got a small window, especially in winter. I'm fine going out in the dark and I'm fine running in the dark, but you know, it's not always the most motivational. Because I work long hours, it's hard to fit more in, so I always opt for the run.
It is interesting though, because both Michelle and I have noticed, and maybe because we're slightly older, just slightly, we've noticed that actually with our doing more strength is actually having more benefit on our running, which is true anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's why when you come into the summer period, I'm feeling pretty good.
You will do. Just talk us a bit about the dogs, because we've mentioned Buzz and Bot, but we haven't really told.
What great names, by the way. Love the names.
So Bolt, he's my 4-year-old coming up to 5 in May. He's not your typical Danny Crosser. I rescued him from Cyprus. He's a Cypriot rescue. I rescued him 5 months. So I found him at 3 months and I just fell in love with him. Rescued him at 5 months. So he's a pointer cross. He's a German Shorthaired pointer cross. If you looked at him, you'd probably say he's crossed the lab, because now he's filled out. He's very much looking like a Labrador, especially now I've got a proper pointer. He's got all the facial features of a pointer. He's got the body of a lab. Nothing wrong with it. He's brilliant, but not for endurance. I've really noticed, he hasn't raced much this season, but I've really noticed he's benefited from the Canicross Midlands short courses because he's been able to sustain his speed. Whereas the 5Ks that I used to do in the seasons prior, at the end, he'd always fade. And that's just because he's really heavy. He's 25 kilos, but when I mean heavy, I mean he's got a lot of skin and he's got thick fur and he's black. So if there's anything to do with humidity, anything to do with sun, he'd struggle. Buzz is completely different. He is a German Shorthaired Pointer entirely, pedigree. Got my friend bred him. And he is a completely different body shape. He's the same size, same weight, but he's a completely different body shape. He's all legs. He's very slim. And he can do the endurance. They're both a bit different in personalities. This is why I know Bolt's part Labrador, because he's hugely cheeky. He loves food. And he does what he wants. But he's
so familiar.
I know. He's so focused when you hook him up. Problem with Bolt is he goes a bit nuts on the start line, a bit too nuts, and he's already blooming tired before you get off the start line. You have to be so careful with what you do. But it was always like, I can't let him see me warming up. He'll start going mental. Considering I warm up about 40 minutes prior to my start race, that's too long for me to be going mental. So I have really had to try and hide everything with Buzz. I can do anything and he won't go mental until that countdown. He used to just line out, but he's sussed out that it's really, really, really good.
So Pickle's done that as well. She gets really excited now at the start line, which she never used to, which is good because you know they're enjoying it. So
I couldn't believe it. Bolt turned into a different dog on the Midlands. He actually stood and I didn't need to do anything. He just lined out, had my hands wherever I wanted, and he wasn't even barking. It's like he didn't realise what was going on. I was like, oh.
I saw one of your starts, actually. I quite like that one. Catton's quite nice because it's uphill.
That was Buzz. Buzz has now got into a bit of a thing where it's really cute. He's pretty much screams on the start line for the countdown. But if you then watch his start, he's running and he's going, it's like he's so excited. Get off it. I don't notice it because obviously I'm just trying to run fast, but every time I see the videos you can just hear him going,
Bless. So talk to us about this season, because it's been quite interesting, hasn't it, as in weather?
yes, been a very interesting season. Not dry at all, rain, mud. Now I enjoy mud racing, I'm not blind, I do enjoy it, I find it hilarious. People have said that they've had me giggling when they're going around, because sometimes horses go each other and get me giggling. I find it hilarious, but it's funny. Oh, it's me. Hey ho. It's unfortunately it's been too wet for some races. They've had to cancel, which is a real shame. It's like there should have been 6 races of the BSSF British Federation, but they end up being 5 because overnight I cannot tell you how much rain there was. It literally made a swimming pool. That it was impassable, which is a real shame because it's a really good course and it was really fun. The weather has been extreme. You wouldn't necessarily think it would affect, you know, trails as much as it has, because it's never been like that in previous seasons. But is it the new norm? I'm not sure. I'm hoping not, because this really has been ridiculous. I quite enjoy the mud, so I don't mind if the mud is the new norm.
It's just that we were talking a bit beforehand, wasn't it? It's just the sort of injuries and stuff that you can get from going at speed through that sort of conditions.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So and this is probably where your strength training comes into.
Oh, yeah.
I've been too bad with my ankles. So say at the weekend, it was deep mud. And with every step you took, there was no stability in your ankles and your ankles were going everywhere. I've touched wood. I've never had an ankle injury. And even after the 3 days of racing, I could tell my ankles had a good workout. So someone that's ever faced an ankle injury, they would have felt it. It would have felt like it reoccurred. Maybe not properly, but you would have been able to feel it. it's all about mud. When you're racing in the mud, it's all about confidence, if I'm honest. That it's all in your head, because at the end of the day, if you're leaning too far back, you're actually more likely going to slip. Your technique obviously changes, because, you know, landing on your middle of your foot on a downhill muddy course is not going to help you, because you will slip. It will involve heel striking, you know, it will involve different things that you would do on a flat race. So there is a technique to it, it's all confidence built. You just, if you're anything like me, you just go for it, and if you fall, you fall. But I
think that's again that you're younger, so yeah, it's like,
you've not got that fear of like breaking something at your age.
Well, I say that, but when I did my first ever Canucks race outside of it, apart from when I was 12. I went to Canuck, and I didn't realise what they meant by the dreaded hill. I was like, okay. I was like, oh, that's fine. I'm actually all right at hills. I'm actually, even though I live in a flat county, I'm actually not too bad at hills. Oh my goodness. I cannot tell you how steep this downhill was. And it was about half a mile along, and it was rocky. I had no confidence. I had to get buzzing next to me. I could not have him put me down it. So, you know, it just shows, there are people that can go down that, and they're nuts. But being a confident person, if it was grassy, I probably would have been fine. But the fact that it was rocks, not a chance. I was screaming. Well, when I say I was screaming at myself. It wasn't pretty. I'll say that. It's the first time I've ever had to teach my dog back as well.
In the middle of a race, that's always a good
time. In the middle of the race. It went terribly. My belt came undone twice because I was faffing about. And he was like, what do you want me to do? Forwards or back? I was like, I don't know. I was like, just hold on a sec. I need to figure out what I'm doing. It wasn't pretty. The next day, granted, was much better. It doesn't always go right for us.
No. I've just done a canicross run, be it an awful one on the coast path, and I can cope with running down hills because they're softer. You know, there's a bit of rock and a bit of, but it's sand, but we just go for it.
I think that's the other thing. I think I'm fine with uphills. I'm fine with uphills. I'm fine with downhills if it's soft ground. I think also what also is in the back of my head is I can take Buzzy's weight for me is perfect. I'm good at technical. But I think also the fact I was running down that hill thinking if I go full pelt down here, my knees are going to be shot up this hard ground, downhill. No.
No.
I think I was almost protecting myself subconsciously as well. Don't get me wrong, I've got the motivation to go back and beat that hill. I will do one day. But it was a shock to the system.
Well,
I guess that confidence just comes from experience, I guess, as well. So if you can train on that kind of terrain, you will learn the best technique, won't you, for it?
I do need to train on steep hills that long. I've always done steep hills, like nice and short and sharp. But half a mile steep long hill I've never done before. So I found already in this season one thing I need to train long steep downhills. That means I have to come out of this county to do it, because there is nothing here. It's gonna have to be, I want to go to Italy, which is basically a ski resort, which is told very hilly, I need to practice those downhills. There's no way am I going to be making my dog come to my side in a world championship. That's not happening. I've just got to get better for him.
So what were your goals for this season, and did you achieve them?
Well, this season was fully focused on Buzz. It's his first season, so it was, let's just see how it goes. My goal was to get top five in BSSF, so GB ranking. I wanted to do better at Tri Dog. I know that's not a massive one, but for me, I absolutely love that event, and I was like, I know I've got a bit more in me. And oh, the other one, the big one, really, go to Germany. Germany was the big one.
How did they all go?
Germany went surprisingly, I don't know why I'm surprised, it went very well. I chucked Buzz in at the deep end, so he must have probably been the youngest dog there. So you can't go unless they're 18 months, and he was 19 months. He'd only done 5 races prior to that. And when I say 5 races, I mean like 3 race events, because it was days. So I did chuck him in the deep end, and he's brilliant. I can't fault him. Granted, we've got better as the season's gone on. He was amazing. He came 22nd out of 87 category. So I was very pleased, and I was only 9 seconds off top 20. And my aim was just to get top 30, and that was before I knew there was 87 in my category. I was like, oh, wow. Set myself a bigger one there. So yeah, I was so happy, and it was all about the experience. I went there just to soak it all in. I'd never wanted to come away and be disappointed with it, and I wasn't. So that was great. Tri dog, I definitely improved. I ended up 3rd. It turns out I'm not very good at transitions. There were people doing transitions in like 40 seconds, and I was like a minute and 10, and I was like, what are you doing? It's like my friend Rory said to me, he's like, are you having a cup of tea or something? And I was like, no, I think I'm going pretty fast, but clearly not. So I need to get better at that. But yeah, we did well at that. So that was great. And BSSF, well, that went a lot better than I expected. It ended up being 5 races because the 6th one got cancelled. And every single one, we were top 3. We came 3rd in every single one. So I'm hugely proud of Buzz. We have worked hard. I have kicked myself into gear this time. Oddly, it's ranked me 4th.
Oh, don't even go there with those sort of things.
Don't. Yeah, don't ask me why.
But you got your top 5, so that's good.
I know, it's a shame because I've obviously reached my goal, but it puts a bit of a downer on the whole thing, because especially when you've got lots of people being so kind and messaging saying, well, you know, you should have been 3rd. But hey, look, I got 3 bronze medals. I think I've proved that I'm, you know, top 3 this season. I'm a bit gutted for Buzzy because he's been amazing for his first season, but I'm so happy with him. And I've been told I don't need to worry about Italy qualifier, so I'm hoping that I'll be going to Italy in October. So yeah, this season's gone pretty well. Apart from Germany, where I came 22nd, Buzz and I, and the few races that Bolt's done, podiumed in all of them. I didn't wipe my medal hanger this season because I didn't think I'd do that good, and now it's like bulging. I should have like taken all. So yeah, I'm so proud of my dogs. I'm the one person that's I hype my dogs up more than me. They are the true, you know, they're my power. Yeah, I train myself. Yeah, I train my dogs. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't be doing those times without my boys. So proud of them.
Go on. I was going to ask
the same. What's next? Like, what goals do you set yourself next? Have you thought about them for next season? You obviously have, I think.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So, big one now, because I've got motivation, is to get my 3rd ranking that I deserve.
You can go better than that, can't you? Do your strength training in between, and you'll be fine.
To be fair, it's been Buzz's first season, and he's only just turned 2. He is coming into his prime. You know, I know what I'm doing with me, with fuel, with I know so much more than I did the first ever season. So hopefully next season I can really push it more. So yeah, we'll see. But obviously, it was top 5. Obviously got that, but considering I got my bronze medals, I'm now gunning for top 3. So that will be one goal. Hopefully Italy, and hopefully improving on 22nd. Other than that, it will just be continuing to go to the races. I haven't got goals at the moment. I might do by the end of it, One is obviously to beat my PB. I want to beat my PB this year. And I just don't think realistically it's going to come in summer, because that summer training just goes out the window. But I'm hoping, I will be my PB.
What was your PB?
My PB is 15:07.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll get you back on next year then to find out that you've achieved all these goals.
I'm so very close to 14s, and I know where I need to get better. So
strength will help. Just saying.
Yeah. It will. I know it will. I just need to be consistent with strength. So maybe that's another goal. I'll be consistent with my strength training within race season, because otherwise I'm fine.
Yeah. We'll keep you to that one.
Okay. I'll try.
Brilliant. Well, so can people follow you on social media or anything?
Yes.
See what you're doing?
Yes. Really simple. It's Chloe_Connell. I've actually just hit 1,000 followers. It was quite nice.
Well done.
We'll hopefully get a few more now.
I hope so. It's an account that's fully based on Canny Cross. I got rid of my extra life, basically, apart from stories, because my life is my dogs. I love it. So all you'll see is racing photos. So if you want to see some
muddy ones at the moment,
some muddy courses, some fast starts, maybe some even funny ones chucked in there, I'm your gal.
Brilliant. No, that's great. Have you got anything else you want to ask quickly, Michelle?
Just very, very quickly, just in a minute or less, what do you do over summer with your dogs? Do you still canny cross them, or how does that work?
I do not do a harness break. I think the harness break comes naturally over summer, because it gets warmer, because you're not necessarily running the mileage or anything. I continue with my dogs through summer. I will shorten my mileage based on the temperatures. But personally, this year I'm looking at maybe pushing the boundaries a bit to acclimatise them more, because global warming is only getting warmer, I've noticed. So it ends up being me running more by myself, but I'm going to be focusing on acclimatising my dogs this year, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's a good tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there's quite a few people doing that out there, actually, whether they admit it or not.
It needs to. It's just getting warmer and warmer. Yeah, and at the start of the season...
Oh, it's horrendous, isn't it?
We need to get used to it. It's not getting any better. And the only way to do that is summer.
We need to get used to the rain as well. Anyway,
I don't want to get used to the rain. I don't mind racing in it and running in it, but what it's doing to the race courses.
Oh no.
I don't mind mud, but I don't like cancelled.
No, exactly. Exactly. Right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Chloe. It's been really fascinating to listen to your story and where it all started. So I don't think many people can say they started that young. So well done. Thank you once again. And we hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we will see you on the next one. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends.
And if you get a moment, please leave us a review. We'll see you next time on Canny Cross Conversations.